Es ist schön, hier zu sein heute Morgen. Ich möchte euch alle grüßen im Namen der Josua-Kirche, eine internationale Gemeinde, repräsentiert 16 Nationen aus der ganzen Welt. Spricht jemand Deutsch hier? All right, that's German with a Margate accent, in case you were wondering. And that's the typical welcome on a Sunday morning in Germany when I welcome the church. Hallelujah, just explaining. Translated, it will be welcome this morning to the Joshua Church. We're a church representing 16 nations from across the world. And we love to have you here this morning. Amen. So, I really want to thank you for your prayers and your support. I've done a newsletter, which is in the hallway after the service. Please take one with you. And in the quiet and calmness of your home, you can read through the update, the information, where we are, what we're doing. The church in Papenburg greets you and thanks you very much for your support of me and through me, the fellowship in Papenburg. Hallelujah. Yeah, for those of you who don't know me, Eddie and Heather's son, we came to Margate when I was about 12 years old. And so I was able to integrate into Hartstown School and master the language here in the area. And it's a privilege to have been part of Margate Fellowship here for many, many years. And so there are obviously people here in the fellowship who remember me when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, part of the youth group. And there in Glad Tidings, behind Gordon House, in the little hall. Hallelujah. And and then moving on through to the plaza and to here. And I remember many of the times in the church in those days, a church which had prayer and worship at the very center and evangelism at the heart of the fellowship. Hallelujah. So, prayer meetings at 6 in the morning were not unusual at that time. And then I think you changed it to 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock on a Friday evening. And that made for a full weekend in the plaza. I'll never forget that because our children were small. And you get home from the prayer meeting and Danny would say, we get home about 12 o'clock or something at night or 1 in the morning. Danny would say, oh, God, I've been waiting for you. And give me Shifra or Simeon to help get to sleep. Yeah. And when, in about 2001, we had a heart for Germany and the church here supported that and released us to go to Germany. A church there invited us to help them plant. Well, it wasn't a church, it was a small group of people invited us to help them plant a church. And that was on the north coast of Germany in Cuxhaven. And it was difficult. It was hard going. We were just 5 people. And my German wasn't very good at that time. So to help the people there in a very supportive role, find a name, find an identity. Praise God through his grace and through your prayers and the support of your fellowship here, we were able to establish a church of about 30 people there. And then we felt it was time to move on. And during my time in Germany, it's planting churches, but also supporting and encouraging small churches. So we went to a church of about 25 people in Papenburg, where we've been now for the last 8 or 9 years. And God has been gracious there as well. The church has also grown. And in the last couple of years, really, we've pretty much doubled and really become more international. A lot of immigrants, refugees have come in, and God has really opened up for us. As I said, we're 16 nations in a church of about 60 to 70 people. So we're very mixed languages. We're not really a traditional German church in that sense. But we're very much praying that God will help us to reach the German community in Papenburg. Papenburg, it would be, is a small town, about 40, 50,000 people, representing very much a typical German town. Very much of Germany is rural. A lot of the population live in similar-sized towns. And yet we've still felt the impact of the refugees. So there's no more free flats in the town or free houses. They're building everywhere. And, so there's these two villages, Lower Papenburg and Upper Papenburg, which became one town, but they're still very much the village mentality. And so it's very important. Are you from Lower Papenburg or Upper Papenburg? God is helping us break down these barriers. And it's also a very Catholic community. So there, a church like ours is regarded as a cult. So God is helping us break down and break into that community there. So we have about 20 Bulgarians in the fellowship. The main languages are Bulgarian, Spanish, English, and Russian. So we'll sing a song, and often we'll have a verse in English or a verse in Spanish. We have 4 Spanish services in the year on a Sunday morning, a Spanish preacher. And we're starting bilingual services once a month where the service will be in German and English to help reach out and accommodate people. So that's very challenging, as you can imagine. And God is helping me there in that situation, helping the nations come together. And it is wonderful. The church is a miracle. Hallelujah. The church is a miracle. When you look around you, look at the person, maybe not sitting next to you, that may be your husband or your wife, but sitting behind you or in front of you, and you see us coming from different languages, coming from different cultures, totally different backgrounds. And it's amazing how we can just sit together and worship God together. And it may be, you know, from different levels of society, poor people, rich people, whatever. That was like the New Testament church. Must have been so difficult in the New Testament, you know, being in a church like Corinth or Antioch, and there's slaves worshiping God in the same church as maybe their masters, who'd been giving them difficult jobs all week. You think, wow, it's only God can do that. It's the grace and the love of God. So I bring greetings also from my family, from Danny. Unfortunately, she couldn't come with me. Her grandmother is 90 years old, and she's caring for her, lives with us in the house. And she appreciates your prayers and sends her greetings. Hallelujah. And Shifra is still studying physics in the south of Germany. So we say, if you don't manage to pass, you can become the chancellor, because Merkel studied physics as well, for those who don't know. And Simi's in his final year of A-levels, and we appreciate your prayers also for him. Hallelujah. Yeah, it was great coming here, traveling across Europe from North Germany. Papenburg is right in the northwest on the Dutch border. And it's about a 5 to 6 hour drive through Holland and Belgium and a little bit of France. And, you know, as driving through these countries with Margate in my sat-nav, and those thoughts of returning home. Hallelujah. As I've been in Germany 20 years now, and we speak German in the home, and now and again Danny will do an English meal, and we have chips and bangers and mash that beats bratwurst any day. And it's nice returning home, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know if any of you have been away from home for a long period of time, maybe abroad or maybe at university, and there's feeling, oh, Christmas time, whatever time, holidays are here, I'm going home. Yeah, I can have some home-cooked meals. Mum and Dad will look after me. I can put my shoes where they belong. And just see the things around the house, which I know so well and feel comfortable with. And in today's society, you know, there's an awful lot of people looking for a home, and it's not just homeless. There's an awful lot of homeless people, spiritually speaking. I think you know what I'm talking about. The word home also has a special meaning in German. It's this word Heimat, okay? And often on a Sunday afternoon, on like the TV channels, they'll come a film, and they're called Heimat films. Films about the homeland. It's generally sort of around the 50s, how life was like in the 50s, and there are often stories from the south of Germany, or, you know, where it's in the country where all life was sort of peaceful, and the Germans enjoy watching those type of films on a Sunday afternoon. It gives them a feeling everything is secure, everything is okay. And I know many of us, sometimes in today's chaotic world, we like the feeling of tradition and a feeling, okay, things aren't going off the rails. And there was a film which I watched here in England, funnily enough, in about 87, it came on around Christmas time, and it's a film, it's called Heimat. It's one of the longest films ever made. It's about 24 hours long, and I think they started it in the evening, and I remember watching it from about 8 o'clock to about 2 in the morning in its original, they showed it in German with English subtitles, and it's a film following life in Germany in a small village from the 1840s through to 2000, through the eyes of a family around the area of Rhineland. And it's the family's personal and domestic life set against the backdrop of wider social and political event. So it made history. The final film, because it was so popular, they made several others. Combined length of 5 films, broken into 32 episodes, is 59 hours and 32 minutes, making it one of the longest series of feature-length films in cinematic history. Okay? Wow. And I know in England, home is also an important word, isn't it? Often in Germany, I'll hear them quoting the English phrase, "My home is my castle." And that's, I don't know if you remember maybe buying your first house or moving into your first flat and feeling, okay, we're going to set this up as our home. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's a story in the Bible from the book of Ruth about a lady returning home. Ruth chapter 1. If you've got your Bibles, just turn to that. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and 2 sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her 2 sons. The 2 sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone without her 2 sons or her husband. Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab, to return to her homeland. with her two daughters-in-law, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. On the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes. May the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. "No," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." But Naomi replied, "Why should you go with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who would grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes. For I'm too old to marry again. And even if it were possible and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? Of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me." And again they wept together. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. "Look," Naomi said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same." But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. So the two of them continued on their journey. When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. "Is it really Naomi?" the women asked. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. What a wonderful story. Yeah? I love these stories from the Old Testament like that. And I love stories of people returning home. You know, there's loads of films, there's loads of books, there's quite a few songs following the similar theme. People returning home. They're films of adventure often, films of love, films of heartbreak, films of survival. You may have seen the film called Lion. The book was called The Long Way Home, about this Indian, young Indian lad who lost his home in India and was adopted by an Australian couple and grew up in Australia. But there was always this heartache in his memory of home, and how he researched his spent his youth trying to recall the memories and the names of the places where he lived and finding his way home. Tremendous story. I love watching films like that. One of my favorite films or books, started off as a book, As Far As My Feet Will Carry Me. I don't know if you've seen that one, about a German prisoner of war in a gulag in Siberia. And he escaped, and he found his way, walked all through Russia, and finally found his way to Afghanistan through a long, you know, through quite a few years it took him. But finally, he found his way back home to his home village in Germany. And we have a few people in our church. These, we call them Russian Germans, because they were a similar story to their fathers or their families were, after the war, taken to Siberia. And many of their grandparents died in the prison camps in Siberia, but their children grew up in towns in eastern Russia. And they still spoke German. They grew up with the culture, you know, in a separate community. They were ostracized by the Russians because they were the bad Germans, you know, from the war and everything. But they grew up with this in their heart: one day maybe we can return to Germany. One day we can go back home. And of course, you remember in 1989, the war came down, the barriers came down. Germany was reunited, and Russia allowed these Germans to return home. And it must have been very similar to when the Israelites maybe left Egypt. At last they're going, you know. And these Russian Germans, at last we can go home. People who can speak our language, people who can understand us. And when they returned, Germany had changed. It was a different Germany than their parents had told them about or their grandparents had told them about. How they must have looked forward to that, returning home. Ruth made five statements, which are very important. I won't go into them this morning. That would take up too much time. She said, I will go with you. She made a decision, a conscious decision. I will go with you. Yeah? That's what we got to do if we want to find our way home. We've got to make a decision. I'm going to go and search. And often that's what happens, people looking for God. It is a journey. They're searching. They decide, I want to find the truth. I want to find the way. She said, where you live, I will live. That's also a conscious decision. When you found the place, when you found God, when you made the decision, I will follow him. I will live there. I'll be willing to change my lifestyle, to adopt different style of living, different way of thinking, a different list of priorities. It's not always easy to do that. And I know what I'm talking about growing up in a Christian family. Maybe some of you have done that as well. And know what it's like to go to school or to go into different situations in life. And, yeah, you're different. And you realize you're different. And often other people know you're different. Your first day at work or something, there's something different about you, your language. You don't swear like we do. You don't smoke like we do or do whatever like we do. And I pray, and I think that's good, actually. I know some people, oh, no, terrible. You know, we want to fit in. We want to feel we're not. But I always pray, Lord, help there to be something different in my life that people will see in me that I'm not a part of this world, that I don't belong here. Hallelujah. That I got different priorities. I got a different system of living. If we do fit in, if we do get worried, and these are chances, encourage the people in Papenburg. When people are worried about environment change, get all worked up, and you can almost feel the fear in Germany. Oh no, the planet is dying. The planet is dying. What are we going to do? Plant trees, stop driving our cars on the Autobahn without any speed limit, and burn all that stuff, petrol and diesel, you know. What can we do? What can we do? And there's almost a feeling in Germany at the moment, it's out of our control. We can't, you know, and these Fridays for Future demonstrations where the youth at last have got something to demonstrate about, hallelujah, to go out and try and change the world. But there's this fear. And that's an opportunity for us, hallelujah. That's an opportunity. When we go to work and hear these guys gossiping and talking and sharing their fears, what do we say? What do we do? Do we show the same fears in our life? Or do we bring across a sense of stability and trust in Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Who said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And I know my future is in God's hands. And he will keep me as he kept me at Hartsdown. Hallelujah. As he kept me here in Thanet. As he kept me through the different highs and lows of life. That is my testimony. That is my story. Sometimes I said to the people at work, yeah, I get the same bills as you do. You know, God didn't just save us to get us to heaven. There is a life after our conversion. Hallelujah. When we come to Christ, it's not that we stop living, we start living. We don't die, we live. Hallelujah. So I get the same bills. It's not all of a sudden when we become a Christian that the bills stop coming. Yeah? You get bills as well, don't you? Yeah, gas bills, BT, whatever. British Gas, it used to be. All the different mortgages. And what is our testimony? Hallelujah. Our testimony is that we go to God. And that God carries us through, walks with us. We sang the song, walk with me. Yeah? Walk with me. And that's what Jesus does. So when our friends at work or at school are worried, complaining, full of fear, that's our opportunity not to be, what do you call it? Was it in German? Besserwisser. Not to be someone who knows better. But to say, hey, I sometimes feel that as well. But you know what I do? I go to Jesus. I talk about it with him. Hallelujah. And when I became a Christian at a very young age, and my mum said to me, do you want Jesus as a friend? And I said, yes. You know, it was just a very simple prayer. I didn't know all about my sins and how bad I was and, you know, all the things which could go wrong in life and all these. I was only like 6 years old. But I could understand that. And sometimes later on, we can forget that. We start getting theological. We start getting all these problems in our minds. And I think, oh, Lord, God can become real in your situation, however old you are, whether you're six, whether you're a teenager, getting spots and going through all the teenage problems. Yeah, whether you're a senior citizen and your teeth are falling out and your hair's falling out. And, you know, I'm beginning to have to wear glasses now. I think, Lord, how am I going to deal with this? My hair's starting going grey. Oh, Lord, help me. Start getting down, you know? And I'm in Germany. But God, I trust God. He's going to be there for me. Hallelujah. And I look to senior citizens. I look to people here in the fellowship as role models. And that's encouraging. I think if they can do it, I can do it. Hallelujah. If they've trusted God for 50 years, I can trust God for 50 years. And their future and their world that we're all going into is changing. I will live. Where you live, I will live. Your people will become my people. And we identify with each other. Hallelujah. So when people ask where we are Sunday mornings, what do you do Sunday mornings? Where are you? You know, New Life. What did you say? Yeah, we can be honest. We can be proud. We can say, well, I pray, I thank the Lord. You know, don't use too spiritual language, but anyway. Yeah, I find my way to a fellowship of people, to a group of people who worship God. If you don't have anything to do, you can come along. I want to welcome you. Come along with me. And your God will be my God. Sounds a bit theological, but there's more to it than that. As I say, I like concentrating on the experience, practical issues. So it's more than just theology, but it's serving and experiencing God together. The memories which we have and the things which we go through. You know, the names of God in the Old Testament, Jehovah, they always added on another name according to what they'd experienced from God. Jehovah my healer, Jehovah my provider. Hallelujah. We sing this worship song at the moment in our church, the Waymaker. It's called Waymaker, and it's a powerful song. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. And I love that song because it's these things, it's these practical issues. It's God making a way where there is no way. And he is faithful. He makes a way where there is no way. He opens doors where there is no doors. Hallelujah. And sometimes, often I pray, oh God, open my eyes and reveal to me. You know, sometimes we can try and, one day it came as a revelation. It's this picture of a wall and there's a door there. And sometimes we can be trying to get through the wall, you know? Here's the wall, and we're praying. Oh, God, break down the wall, break down the wall, make a wall, make a place. And God revealed to me, you know, I made a door. Why don't you just go through the door? Yeah. And that could be like life, you know? Jesus said, I am the door. And sometimes we're trying to struggle, make our own way, make our own God. And he said, I'm the door. And it's so simple. Why don't you just trust in me? I've done everything for you. That's what grace is all about, and mercy. I've done it all. I've made the way where there is no way. Where you die, I will die. Having the same values and the same priorities and willingness to sacrifice. That's not easy. Where you die, I will die. And none of us know what's going to come in the future with the planet, when the planet's going to give up, or what dying means for us. Sometimes it's a daily experience. Sometimes it's not a melodramatic experience of someone giving their life for a friend. Sometimes it's just a case of giving up a small aspect of your expectation and saying, okay, in that small area, I'll go your way, Lord, not my way. And that's dying as well. And it's just as important. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. But then we shall see face to face. Hallelujah. Now we know, or I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Hallelujah. That's encouraging. It's encouraging. I praise God to have been part of a church which sees God as someone positive. And when I look forward to seeing Jesus Christ face to face, we can look forward to that, not with a sense of fear, oh, I'm going to be judged, you know, all the failures I've made, all the wrong things, all the things I should have done. No, not at all. Why? Because we know Jesus as a friend. And I like that thought. And it's been a comfort to me many times when I failed, many times when things haven't gone as I thought they should, many times when I think maybe I've let God down. But when I see him, hallelujah, I'll be looking into the eyes of a friend, someone who's been with me through my life, through the ups and downs. Sometimes he takes us, or we go through the valley of the shadow of death. And I thank the Lord that I haven't been through those times alone. That God has been there with me. Other people in the fellowship have been there with me. Those of you who've known my life or known things which we've gone through, hasn't been easy. And my life hasn't always been, you know, a thing of success where you just sort of, the only way is up and everything is a stepping stone and you think, wow, yeah, success, success, success. Hasn't been like that at all. No way. But God hasn't left me. Hallelujah. God has been with me. And God wants to help you in your situation today. And we create a home, hallelujah, as a fellowship in the church in Papenburg, an international church, as I said, 16 different nations and from all different cultures. It's not always easy to understand each other in our leadership team. There's me, you know, and then there's Junior. He's from Nigeria. He's a very sort of prophetic type guy. And then there's Valdemar. He's from Argentina. Lived and brought up there. And the only German is Klaus. So you can imagine when we've got decision making to do and our giftings are quite separate, you know. I'm more the shepherd. You've got Klaus is more the teacher, the German, you know. Things have got to be explained and all fit in their boxes very nicely. And Junior's the prophetic guy. Often he sees things maybe sort of black and white. You know, you've got to throw them out of church. They're sinning. Oh, and I'm like, oh, we've got to love them. We can't just throw them out. If God had thrown me out, I wouldn't be here today. But that's team. Hallelujah. That's creating a home. In a partnership, in a marriage, it's not always the same. It's similar. It's not always easy either. Hallelujah. Yeah. And we remember that passage which has helped you as a fellowship. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord God Almighty, from Psalm 84. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. And even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord God Almighty, my God and my King. And blessed are those who dwell in your house. Hallelujah. They are ever praising you. And blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage, on a journey. And as they pass through a valley of Baca, there's a place of tears, place of pain, place of maybe unfulfilled expectations, they make it a place of springs. And the autumn rains also cover it with pools. Hallelujah.